They're blinded, and it becomes obvious by the way they mismanage the teachings of Christ. They don't really have this sense of from the Holy Spirit of what's true. Jesus is in verse 9 when he says, "And I say to you." Now people look at this and they say, "Well, Jesus said it, but what was his inflection? What was his intention? What's the meaning? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." That's almost like a dare. Go ahead. See if that works. See if that works for you. Make yourselves friends with mammon of unrighteousness. He just said you can't serve God and mammon, but go serve mammon. See what it gets you. See if those friends you make that can receive you into eternal life. If they can receive you into habitations that do not waste away. Because God's judgment is sure against all them which do such things, that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But see what you can inherit with them. Maybe they can receive you into something. Maybe they can receive you into some sort of permanent resting place. No, just over the hill. Down in the dirt. That's about it. Maybe they'll bury you. But when you fail, you know, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, chapter 1, said this, that if you do these things, you shall never fail. What things? Well, all the things that pertain to the promises of God, and all the things that by faith that we lay hold of in Christ. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. You know, do you think it's virtuous to write down your master's debts like that? Do you think handling, and he's called the unjust steward. He's worthy to be fired. He's only commended for his shrewdness according to a worldly wisdom. Jesus does not commend him. He's saying, hey, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. If you can't handle the worldly goods, how am I going to commit to you true riches? If you are unfaithful and unjust in the way you deal with things, I mean, it seems like he's being a nice guy, but he's not. He's acting in his own self-interest. He's not being nice to his Lord. Let's say you start writing down the word. You know, we have a debt of obligation to obey the word of God, but let's start writing down that debt. Oh, no, you don't have to be perfect. Oh, no, you don't have to follow the doctrine of Christ. Oh, no, just believe and accept the Lord as your personal Savior. That'll be enough. Write down the debt. See if God honors it. And see if those people welcome you into an everlasting kingdom in the future. Not going to happen. Hey, if you're unjust in least, you're also unjust in much. The faithless servant is not a model for our behavior. And this is one of those places, verse 9, I think Jesus was being sarcastic. Make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. What? Can you imagine? Now let's quote Jesus. Jesus, thus says Jesus, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Mammon, he always uses it in a negative sense. It means riches. The riches of unrighteousness. Make to yourselves friends in that. Yeah, so that they can receive you into everlasting, eternal habitations. They can't even do that. That's the whole point of the sarcasm. And if you don't want to call it sarcasm, call it something else. This, and I say to you in the beginning of verse 9, in margin of my Bible, he says that you could use this as a introductory clause saying, and do I say to you, is this what I'm saying to you? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Is that, because remember, there's no punctuation. Verse 9 here of chapter 16, you could end it with a question mark. And now, all of a sudden, you might be able to accept it. Like, he could have been like, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Am I saying that to you? Is that what I'm saying? He that is unfaithful, this is your answer. This is the answer. This is the interpretation. He that is unfaithful in that which is least is unfaithful also in that which is much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You don't want to be like that. You don't try to follow this. Don't do it. You think, oh, I'm being nice. I'm writing down people's debts. You're also ripping someone off. It's no mention of interest or anything. Let's say you work for, you know what, you'll go to jail. You start writing down, you will go to jail. In the modern world. In that time, there was a lot more leeway. The Lord could decide whether or not he wanted to fire the steward or not. Apparently, that Lord was a pretty wicked guy himself. Remember, every Lord in every parable does not represent God. This is the children of the world. He's not God. It is the children of the world that commend you. You know, the children of the world love the wicked. The wicked that get away with it. They love it. Because they want to get away with it. If you've not been faithful in that which another man's, who shall give to you that which is your own? Who's going to commit to you something greater? He's talking about the things of God. The true riches. You know? The true riches. If you can't be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if you can't be a faithful steward of the earthly goods for on behalf of someone else, how's God going to give you something that could be for you really? Because life in this world is a preparation for eternal life, or a preparation merely to pass out of this world and into death. If you want to be received into an everlasting habitation, you have to be faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to God's works. God is faithful to you. If you will be faithful to Him, you will know that you will never fail. You're not going to fail. So there's no need to start double dealing, to hedge your bets. Remember, you can't serve two. That's Jesus' message all the time. You can't have your heart after one and not, because then you can't serve God in riches. If you're into riches, you can't serve God. I know. I don't even have much. And I see how the little I have, and I have a lot, but by American standards, not much, right? I see the riches of our nation and the riches of just that the even poor people have. I mean, I got a TV. I've got a computer. I've got a microphone. I've got a guitar. You know, I've got stuff. And I can certainly see the tug and the pull that all the things that our lives surround us have on us. And it is a battle to not let yourself serve that. To serve instead God. To put God as the central and most important thing in your life. So you're faithful to Him. And not in service to riches. It's tempting to want to serve riches. I'll tell you what, I have had gone through some tough times. And the biggest temptation to me is that, why don't you just focus on making money? Why don't you just focus on that and forget everything else? You know, that's a temptation. Because, you know, you feel like you need it. Instead of just trusting God that He'll provide. It's not easy. We want to serve God, not riches. Hey, everyone's got to work with their own hands sometimes, right? We're not afraid of work. But to serve riches, to get those extra things, to get all those things. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided Him. Pah! Bah! They were covetous in their hearts. They desired things. They had desire for wealth and so on. And so they didn't like, they got what He was saying.